fat and get people to stop eating butter and eat margarine. Yep, am I right? Is that what they've got everyone to do, or as much as possible? Has that reduced heart disease? Not at all. Hasn't made any difference at all. In fact, there are a few other things that have started to rise since then, and that is cancer, because margarine is a toxic fat. It's not known by the body. It's a molecular structure that's not known, so it can come in and damage the tissues. In fact, it's a very dangerous fat. Has fat-free help? No, not at all, because we need fat. And the brain is the fattiest organ in the body, and it really suffers on fat-free diets. Nah, that one hasn't worked. What else have they done? Doesn't like me going over there. What else have they done? What they've also decided is to put everyone over the age of 50 on half an aspirin a day, yeah? So blood thinning medication like aspirin. So let me tell you the side effects of aspirin. It's the number one cause of stomach ulcers. It causes stomach bleeds, it causes eye bleeds, and it causes brain bleeds. They're the side effects of aspirin. No, that really hasn't reduced heart disease. And everyone that has a stroke and everyone that has a heart attack, they're put on the statin drugs. And the statin drugs are the cholesterol-lowering medication. Also Lipitor, Crestor, cholesterol-lowering medication. Has that helped? No, not at all. So what I'd like to look at is cholesterol the number one cause of heart disease? Let's have a look at what cholesterol is. So by looking at what cholesterol is, we're going to have a look at the organ that makes cholesterol, and that is the liver. And the liver makes cholesterol according to the body's demands. 80% of the cholesterol that the liver makes is made from glucose, and 20% of the cholesterol that the liver makes is made from fat. Now, just this one piece of information alone tells us it's not the butter on the bread, it's the bread under the butter. And that's what Dr. Atkins found. He found that when his patients were on his diet, which is meat, butter, cream, cheese, eggs, the cholesterol levels actually started to drop. And he scratched his head because he didn't do it for this. He did it for weight loss. And he went back into the research papers and he found that as early as the 1960s, research was showing that dietary cholesterol has little or no effect on blood cholesterol levels. What's dietary fat? There's dietary cholesterol. You see, there's no cholesterol in any plant foods. It's in animal foods. And what were his patients doing? Meat, butter, cream, cheese, eggs. And so what would one presume? Their cholesterols would go through, levels would go through the roof, but they didn't. So he really scratched his head on this. So let me show you the two main cholesterols and what they do in the body. High-density lipoprotein is one of the main cholesterol, and it's called the good guy because it's the carrier. It's the carrier of excess cholesterol back to the liver. That's why it's called the good guy. LDL, low-density lipoprotein, is called the bad guy, but the body doesn't make bad things. What LDL cholesterol does, its role in the body is that of a repairer and a rebuilder. But LDL does something else. LDL delivers cholesterol to the brain because the brain loves cholesterol. It's the fattiest organ in the body. So here is a brain cell, And as I showed you yesterday, 50% of the membrane around every cell is 50% fat. But out of the nerve cell comes an arm, it's called the axon. And around the axon, there's a fatty sheath. And this fatty sheath is basically made out of a cholesterol-type substance. So there's the other 20%. So the membrane around the nerve cells is 70% fat. That's why the fat-free diet is a very dangerous diet for the brain. We had a midwife attend our program, and she was in her 80s, and she'd worked in Africa for 20 years. She said at one point the African babies weren't developing properly, their brains weren't developing. So they investigated and they found out that the mothers were watering down the powdered milk. You see, those babies weren't getting fat. They weren't getting fat in their milk, so their brains weren't developing. Do you know the fattiest food on the planet with the highest cholesterol levels is breast milk in the first 3 months, and no baby's having heart attacks? Because that developing brain must have fat. Let's go to the latter years of life. Do you know, I'm a Bible student. I haven't read about Alzheimer's in the Bible, have you? In fact, it's only been as big as it is today in about the last 100 years. And it was 1953 when Ansel Keys, a scientist from Minneapolis, he put forward the theory, got that? Theory, that fat causes heart disease. It's a theory. And what he used as his theory, he eliminated certain tribes or certain nations. He only chose the ones that supported his theory. Is that true science? It's not true science at all. He had to eliminate the Mediterranean diet because of their olive oil. He had to eliminate the African tribe that have meat, milk, and blood. That's their diet. Zero heart disease. He had to eliminate a lot of the northern countries that eat a lot of dairy and milks and cheese because they had very low heart disease. He only chose the ones that he felt supported his theory. And Malcolm Kendrick, in his book, The Great Cholesterol Con, he said, "I'm still waiting for the proof that saturated fat causes heart disease." In other words, it has never been proven. And he's got a quote from Ansel Keys saying, "We're pretty sure the research is going to come." That's not science at all. I have several books in my library at home, and I do quote them in my chapter on the heart, Love Your Heart with All Your Heart, in my book, Sustain Me. There's The Great Cholesterol Con by Dr. Malcolm Kendrick, who's a cardiovascular surgeon. There's The Great Cholesterol Lie by Dr. Dwight Lundell, another cardiovascular surgeon, performed 10,000 bypasses, and he's written a book, The Great Cholesterol Lie. There's The Great Cholesterol Deception by Dr. Peter Dingle. There's The Great Cholesterol Hoax. There's The Great Cholesterol Myth by Johnny Bowden. We're running out of names. And so Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride, she had to name her book, Put Your Heart in Your Mouth, because there was no other names. And Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride, she spends the first three chapters of her book looking at all the environmental poisons that we are exposed to today that are coming into the blood. You breathe them in, they go to the blood. They come in through the skin, they go into your blood. You eat them, they come into your blood. All these environmental poisons. And what they do in the blood vessels. Because of its low density, LDL always sits at the edge of the blood vessel, and because of its high density, HDL... I'll go over there just occasionally. Because of its high density, HDL sits in the middle. And all these environmental poisons, they're in our personal care products, they're in our clothes. There's the nylon, the acrylic, the polyester. And you've heard of negative ions and positive ions? It's the negative ions are created when water moves through air. So when water droplets move through the air, they cast off negative ions. So to make negative ions, which are electrically charged oxygen molecules, there's movement, water and air. So you see them in the thunderstorm, you see them in the waterfall, you see them in the ocean waves. They're the good guys. But the positive ions, they're positively bad. The positive ions have more carbon dioxide in their molecule than oxygen. And these polyester blankets, these polyester clothes, they're giving off the positive ions and they're attracting positive ions to them. So they come in all these ways, in our foods, in our cleaning products, they're everywhere. So they come into the blood, whether we breathe them, whether they come in through our skin, whether we eat them, and they come in and they damage the little cells that are lining the arterial wall. They're called endothelium cells. Mold is a toxic poison. Mold gets into the blood. It can also damage those little cells that line the endothelium cells that line the arteries. Who's going to plug up the hole, students? LDL, it's already sitting on the edge. That's its role in the body. It's the repairer and the rebuilder. It's plugging up the holes. But the person doesn't realize what these fabrics, what these chemicals in their personal care product, what they're washing their clothes with, what they're washing their dishes with. It's everywhere. And little by little, like the dripping tap on a stone, they're coming in and they're continuing. And what's happening in the artery? It's getting an occlusion called atherosclerosis, arteriosclerosis. And what I've just drawn for you there is about 80% occlusion of the artery. Something else is happening too. We've got little protein molecules floating through the blood. And when a person's on a high carbohydrate diet, we talked about it yesterday when we looked at diabetes, cereal and toast for breakfast, sandwiches for lunch, pasta for tea, biscuits, donuts, mid-morning, mid-afternoon, it's just overload of carbohydrates and sugars. So too many sugars in the blood, and they connect with these protein molecules and become sticky, and they can stick on the arterial wall. Now let's say we've got one area here that's particularly narrow. One of them can be dislodged and move and get stuck. And if that happens in the carotid artery, that's a stroke. If it happens in the heart muscle, that's a cardiac arrest. That's the number one cause of strokes and cardiac arrest. Can you see it's not one thing that causes heart disease? Are you starting to see as we go through these classes, it's just not one thing. It's often a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of this and a bit of that. I have got a friend, his name's David Harris. He's a craniosacral chiropractor. And he was getting breathless. He plays the bagpipes, his ancestry is Scottish, he's a cyclist, he's a plant-based guy, never drunk, never smoke. You know, it's well known smoking contributes to this because there's about 7,000 chemicals in one cigarette. And he was getting breathless. He goes to Europe every year and does 200K rides. He was getting breathless in his late 60s. So a friend of his said, I want to do an angiogram on you. An angiogram is where they put the dye in and they can see if there's much blockage in the arteries. He had 80% occlusion. So they rushed him in and did two bypasses on him. A bypass is where they cut the chest open, pull the ribs apart, cut out the offending artery, cut an artery from the leg, seal that off, and then sew it in where they've cut the other one out. It's a major operation. He rang me up 2 weeks later. He was recovering well. He said, it's genetics, Barb. I said, genetics loads the gun, Dave. Lifestyle pulls the trigger. Anyway, he came and did our health program, and I put my detective hat on because I wanted to know why. Because remember the curse, oh, here's my why, the curse causeless shall not come. I said, tell me about your childhood, Dave. Did you have a happy, healthy childhood? He said, yeah, I did. But he said, my parents were chain smokers. Aha. Point number one, parents were chain smokers. So this little boy is breathing in the most toxic type of smoke, which is the passive smoke. So what's happening with this young boy is he's getting quite a bit there. I wouldn't be surprised if by the age of 15, he possibly had maybe 20% occlusion of the arteries. And I know in the war they did postmortems on a lot of the soldiers, and they found a lot of the American soldiers, these young men, had 20-30% occlusion. And they did it on the Japanese, they had no build-up at all. Because the Japanese are mostly plant-based, they're not smoking as much as the Americans. And David told me that in 2010 he wanted to build up muscle. You see, he was like many vegetarians, cereal and toast for breakfast, sandwiches, lunch, pasta for tea, liked his sugar biscuits, just overload of the carbohydrates. Wasn't having enough protein. So he started to eat fish, tuna. And 10 months later, he started to show signs of mercury poisoning. See, the bigger the fish, the higher the accumulation of mercury. We had a tuna fisherman do our program. He said, we catch 10-foot tunas. There's a lot of mercury on there. You see, mercury is bioaccumulative. That's why if you like fish, it should be a rare treat and the smallest you can get. See, mercury and lead, they're heavy metals. They sink to the bottom of the sea. That's why the crustaceans take it up. And also the plants, and then the little fish eat that, then the bigger fish eat the little fish, and then the bigger fish, so it accumulates. So the bigger the fish, the higher the accumulation. So what's happening to him then? Oh, see, he's getting quite a lot of build-up with all the mercury that he was taking into his body. And because of his high carbohydrate diet, he's got little ages, they're called, these little combinations of glucose and protein. Aha. So when I explained that to him, his eyes were opened. Now, have you noticed if someone has a stroke, if someone has a heart attack, there's a protocol. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your age is, it doesn't matter your size. Everyone is given blood thinning medication, yep. And they're given statin drugs, the cholesterol-lowering medication, and usually high blood pressure medication. And he was on it all. See, what the statin drugs, or the Lipitor, the Crestor do, the cholesterol-lowering medication, they block the pathway in the liver that the liver uses to make cholesterol. That's how they do it. But that same pathway that the body uses to make cholesterol, it also uses to make coenzyme Q10. And coenzyme Q10 is your heart protective enzyme. So someone can go on cholesterol-lowering medication with the hope to prevent heart disease and can actually increase it because they've now lost their heart protective enzyme, coenzyme Q10. When David heard this, he happily stopped all his medication because he saw it was not cholesterol that caused his problem. To say cholesterol causes heart disease is like saying the fire trucks are causing the fires. Well, they must. They're always there. Have you noticed? It's like saying that the ambulances are causing the accidents. All cholesterol is doing is what God designed it to do, which is plug up the holes. The number one cause of heart disease and strokes today is damage to that arterial wall. Something else is coming in, and it all came from number one here. because people were told, stop the saturated fats, it's going to give you heart disease, and start eating the polyunsaturated fats. So it was in about the 1920s that high heat chemical equipment was developed to be able to extract oil from hard seeds. You see, before that, depending on where you lived, if you lived in the northern, say, right up the top of the planet, you ate fish, seal, seal blubber, whale blubber, a lot of the saturated fats, no heart disease. Come down a little bit, and then you've got the northern countries. Most of their fats came in the form of butter, cheeses, creams, very little heart disease. Then you come down the planet, and then you come to the European countries, olive oil, very little heart disease. And then you come down to the equator, coconut oil, palm oil, very little heart disease. So these oils have stood the test of time. The problem today with the animal fats, like the butters and the ghees and the cheeses, is the cows aren't in a very happy state. And a lot of them are exposed to chemicals. When I was in Ireland a couple of years ago, the guy driving me around, he was in his early 70s, he said, I used to be a dairy farmer. He said, in my 30s, this is 40 years ago, he said, I can't believe the amount of antibiotics we used to give the cows. I said, why? He said, well, the udders were so big of milk, they'd be so heavy, the hooves would crack. And if the hooves cracked, then they'd, of course, get infected, so they just kept giving them antibiotics. So this has been going on for a long time. But those seed oils, when they're extracted with high heat and chemicals, it damages the seed. And those are the oils that can come in and contribute to damage in the arterial walls. So they're the ones that are in clear plastic bottles. They're the cheapest oils. So they're the soy oil, the corn oil, the canola oil, the peanut oil, did I say that? The safflower, the sunflower oil. Keep right away from those. The only oils I buy are extra virgin first cold pressed olive in dark, ideally dark tins or dark bottles, or the coconut oil. These two oils have stood the test of time. They've been used for centuries. So those seed oils are another contributing fact. So when the populations were told, stop the saturated fat, go to margarine, go to fat-free or low-fat, these polyunsaturated oils, it has not reduced heart disease and cancer rates have risen. Dr. Agatha Thrash and Dr. Calvin Thrash were a medical team that started Yuchi Pines Health Retreat. And I think they started the Yuchi Pines Health Retreat in about the 60s. They're both past now. But Agatha Thrash used to tell a story of a lady that came to their retreat. She was in her mid-70s and she was an alcoholic. And she had an angiogram because she was getting breathless and they found 80% occlusion of her arteries. But they didn't want to operate because her body was so weakened because of the alcohol abuse. So her family sent her to the health retreat, Yuchi Pines. And the first 24 hours was a bit tough because there was no smoking and there was no alcohol and there was no caffeine. But the staff were so lovely. They helped her through it, giving her hot foot baths if she had a bad headache. And by the third day, she was starting to feel very good. She was having the steam saunas, having massages. I think she had juices for 24 hours. She started walking, started drinking more water. And on the fourth day, in her room was a Bible. And she opened the Bible and she started reading the Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the Gospels. And she surrendered her heart to God. And she asked God to forgive her for the abuse she'd given her body. She had a wonderful week. And at the end of the week, she said to Agatha, Do I have to leave? Anyway, Agatha's heart was touched, and I think she found a little room for her to stay in, and she'd help a little bit with laundry. And I think the next 10 months were the best 10 months of her life. She really enjoyed her life. But unfortunately, she was found one morning dead in her room. And Agatha, as a medical doctor, did a post-mortem and found that she'd had an embolism in her brain. It's just many years of the alcohol abuse had weakened her arterial walls. But she'd passed quickly, and I think that's the way I'd like to pass, actually, quickly. But Agatha did a post-mortem on her and found that her arteries were clear. So this is 10 months. So when she came to the retreat, she had 80% occlusion of her arteries. And in 10 months, they were totally clear. What cleared them? The Sustain Me principles. Sunshine, drinking more water, a plant-based diet. She'd stopped all of the chemicals and the damaging things that had damaged her artery walls. I'm so thankful for that story because it's very difficult to have such a black and white seeing results unless a person has another angiogram, but I'm actually really not interested in having radioactive dye put in my blood. I told this story at our retreat a few years ago, and we had two young women there who were studying to be nutritionists, and when I told the story, they said, "We were told that they can never be clear." Well, they can be, as this story shows. What else have they done to try and reduce heart disease? They've lowered the levels. What do I mean by that? What's an accurate level? Well, I'm very thankful to God. And I love that verse, and I often claim it's Psalm 32, verse 8, where God says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Because God brings people across my path that give me information that is incredibly helpful. And if someone says to me, "Barbara, this is a good book, you should read it," I get it straight away. And sometimes it's fantastic, sometimes it's not so great. But I've learned a lot from my reading. And it was probably 6 years ago now, maybe more, I was at Living Springs Retreat. We're running a program there, and there was a nutritionist there, and she was 69. She said, "I have the advantage of being in university 40 years ago." It'd be 50 now. It's only 10 years since I saw her. She said, 40 years ago, so we could say 50, a cholesterol level, let me do this right, a cholesterol level of 400 was perfectly fine. What are we told? That it has to be under 290, is that right? And yet, 40 years ago, 400 was perfectly fine. Have we changed? No. So they've lowered the levels. And lowering the levels means that a lot more people are on cholesterol-lowering medication. Are you ready for the side effects for cholesterol-lowering medication? Alzheimer's, dementia, memory loss, muscle wasting, and they've just added another one, breast cancer, because all our sex hormones are made from cholesterol. And it can be a dangerous thing to get under 150. The brain can start to suffer. You're not making enough sex hormones. You will never be able to make your vitamin D because vitamin D is made from cholesterol. No wonder Dr. Malcolm Kendrick said, for the first time, normal levels of a normal vital body substance is being called a disease. So 1 year ago, I was in Maryland, and I was talking to a lady who was in her mid-70s. She said, "I'm a pathologist. I used to do all the testing on cholesterol." And she said, "We considered 450 perfectly fine." Yeah. That's incredible. So what would be a good cholesterol level? Oh, 300? 250? And yet many people, because of fear, no one wants to have a heart attack. But I've got a book at home called Lipitor, Thief of Memory. And it was written by a medical doctor, and he's also an astronaut, and he had a yearly blood test. He was in his mid-50s, and his cholesterol level was 200. And the doctor said, it's a little bit high. I want you to go on Lipitor. So he did. Why? He doesn't want to have a heart attack. 6 weeks later, his wife found him out in the garden. He didn't know who she was. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know where he was. And his wife was his childhood sweetheart. They'd known each other most of their life. He didn't know who she was. So they stopped the Lipitor. Within 48 hours, his mind was clear again. 10 months later, he had his yearly blood test again, cholesterol level still 200. Doc said, still too high. You don't want to have a heart attack or a stroke. And of course he didn't. He said, I want you to go back onto Lipitor. And Dr. Duane says, I nearly went mad on that. And the doc said, well, go on half dose. So he went on half dose. 6 weeks later, his wife found him out in the garden. He didn't know who she was, who he was. Stopped it immediately. And he put it up on a social media site. Do you know, within hours, hundreds of clicks, same thing happened to me. Do you know, the doctor had told him it was very rare. Why did the doctor say that? Because the pharmaceutical company's salesmen tell him that. I believe most doctors are ethical, but the pharmaceutical company is not. And when the Bible says, put not your trust in princes, please, doctors, don't put your trust in these pharmaceutical reps, because they don't always tell the truth. I don't think that they lie. I think they've been told the lies. That's why you got to source it out for yourself. So I'd like to take you through the Sustain Me principles and show you how it helps with your heart. Sunshine, the ultraviolet rays from the sun hit a form of cholesterol just under the skin, got that cholesterol, and convert to vitamin D. And vitamin D is essential for the proper development of all our cells. There are 2,500 receptor sites for vitamin D in the DNA. Use of water. I know that the best blood thinner in the world is water. I used to do live blood analysis at Misty Mountain, and the cells are jumping around like this. But every now and then I'd do a live blood analysis and the cells are clumped. And I'd say to the person, how much water have you drunk today? And you know what the answer was? No. Because they're traveling. And they don't want to have to stop when they're traveling. So often when they're coming to the retreat, some people haven't drunk water. Now the good news is that once they start drinking water, I can look at their blood the next day and it'll look like that. And that's how I know what a great blood thinner water is. But we should also be having salt. And if someone's got high blood pressure, what are they told? Stop the salt. So let me give you the story on salt. Here is the membrane that is around every cell in the body. And there are sodium potassium pumps in that membrane around the cell. And the highest concentration of mineral inside the cell is potassium, outside the highest concentration of sodium. And those sodium potassium pumps, they're constantly working like this to keep those levels as they should be, because our body runs according to precision balance. But when someone's not eating any fresh fruit and vegetables, and that's the highest source of potassium, and when someone is putting table salt on everything, potassium levels drop and sodium levels rise. You see, seawater contains 92 minerals. So we should be having the minerals in the proportion and combination made by God, which is found in seawater. But 30% of those minerals is sodium, and 50% is chloride. And because these are the first crystals formed, man scoops that up, bleaches it white, puts aluminium with it. There's your table salt. And the doctor's right, table salt will get the blood pressure up because it gets sodium levels up. Have you noticed when someone's using table salt, they'll put salt on everything and they haven't even tasted it yet? That's because those two minerals are so harsh, they kill the taste buds. Whereas the Celtic salt, the Celtic or the Baja salt, these are called whole salts, they contain approximately 82 minerals. Whereas the table salt, how many minerals? Two. And if you were to inject those two minerals into the arteries, you would kill the person. They're such harsh minerals. So when the person's having table salt that's going on everything, they're not eating any fresh fruit and vegetables, potassium levels are rising, dropping, sodium levels are rising, and osmosis and diffusion happens when the highest concentration merges into the lowest. So what's happening in the cell now is sodium levels are rising. That causes the cell to swell. What's that? That's your high blood pressure. The doctor is right. The table salt will get that blood pressure up. Dr. Jacques de Langry, a French doctor who wrote a book called Sea Salt's Hidden Power. He says, he's passed now, but he said when he got a patient with high blood pressure, he'd put them on Celtic salt because the Celtic salt brings the correct mineral balance and it restores this correct mineral balance in and out of the cells. So there's salts and there's salts. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. It's old English. What does it mean? If the salt has lost its savour, I'd like to suggest that table salt has lost its savour. It's lost all the other minerals. Look what the Bible says. If the salt has lost its savour, it is now good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. Did you know 80% of that table salt goes to industry? The other 20% goes to humans. And it's a dangerous salt. We should be eating the whole salt. What about Himalayan salt? Himalayan salt has 75 minerals, not quite as many minerals as the Celtic and the Baja salt. But one of the beauties of the Celtic or the Baja salt, it has three magnesiums in it. You see, our heart pumps because of minerals. Calcium contracts, magnesium relaxes. Calcium contracts, magnesium relaxes. So when you're having that Celtic salt with its three magnesiums, it helps to relax that heart, which means it helps to get blood pressure down. If you're used to no salt, start little by little to ease your body back into salt. And I ask you, what's a baked potato without salt? Our palate tells us we need some salt. What are lentils without salt? You wouldn't even eat them. God gave us taste buds for a reason. How much water a day to keep that blood nice and thin? At least 8 glasses. Start early. Did you take your water to bed last night by your bed? First thing you do when you wake up. Sleep. It's while we sleep that our body recharges and revives. If the body's not recharging and reviving every night, it wears out a lot quicker. Between the hours of 10 and 3 a.m. is when melatonin is released. And melatonin is our fix and rejuvenate nighttime hormone. Allow your heart to have that lovely rest every night. 8 hours to work, 8 hours to play, 8 hours to sleep. Trust in God. Stress, anxiety, that can certainly cause disruptions in heart function. We had a lady attend our program from England. She's 46, tall, slim. She just had a stroke. So I was intrigued. I put my detective hat on. Why does this lady have a stroke? She had an angiogram after the stroke and her arteries were clear. But guess what? She'd been put on blood thinners. She'd been put on cholesterol-lowering medication. She'd been put on the protocol. That's why if you're given the protocol, remember what you say. Thank you so much for your advice. I'm going to seriously consider this. And so I investigated. I said, tell me the week before your stroke. She looked a little embarrassed, as if she didn't want to tell me. She said, well, I'm the CEO of a big company. I had a deadline to keep. She said, I was averaging 3 hours sleep a night. I was living on coffee. That gets us to the next one. Abstain. Caffeine. It causes a crisis response in the body. And whenever there's a crisis in the body, you know what your body automatically does? Blood pressure rises because you're about to do the run or the climb or the fight of your life. Blood pressure rises because you've just created a crisis. And we need to move in a crisis. Caffeine is a huge contributing factor to high blood pressure and also strokes and heart disease. So back to the lady from London. She said, I was having 3 hours sleep a night. I was not drinking any water because I didn't want to have to keep going to the bathroom. I was drinking too much coffee. I was hardly eating anything. And if I was eating, I was just grabbing anything I could get. I had to keep this deadline. So eventually, the body just stopped her. Have you noticed? See, if you don't listen to the first whisper, the body's going to start screaming at you. When it starts screaming at you, it's doing damage. That's why Exodus 15:26, when the Bible says, if you will diligently hearken or listen to the voice of the Lord your God in your body. Well, she didn't listen. Her body was telling her to stop, and then it stopped. I'd like to suggest her blood was getting thick, and she was stressed. She had to keep this deadline, so she's anxious, the nerves are on edge, the blood pressure's going up, and her arteries were actually constricting, and she had a stroke. The only reason she survived is because one of the workers just happened to come in and find her, and they wished her to hospital. So she was very happy to hear the contributing factors as to why she had a stroke. Because there is always a reason. Abstain from anything that will thicken the blood. What thickens the blood? Dehydration, caffeine, alcohol, anything that damages the arterial wall. So all the chemicals, get those chemicals out of the home. Do you know one of the problems with those articles of polyester? They don't break down in landfill. If they're burnt, they're putting toxic gases into the air. Oh, these are toxic stuff. It's time to go back to cotton, linen, wool. Support your local industries. I was very sad when I went to Ireland. I could not buy a tea towel, you call it a dishcloth, that was 100% linen. And yet linen was one of their biggest industries. Not even in the tourist spots. The closest I found was 50% cotton, 50% linen. I'm very fussy as to where my dollar goes. I want to support local industry and I want to support natural fabrics, natural fibres. We, the consumer, have power. So I was very sad when I was in the Baltic Sea, walking on the edge of the Baltic Sea. There are little cafes there with tables and chairs out, and it's pretty cold. So I was intrigued to see that every chair had a blanket on it, so the people could sit outside and put a blanket on. I thought, oh, how quaint. And I went up and I touched the blanket. Polyester. I'm sure they weren't polyester 50 years ago. Yeah. See, these are fabrics that were created in a chemical laboratory. And that's the Industrial Revolution, one of the things it did. So abstain from the chemicals. Get the mold out of your house. Stop anything that coming into the body that can harm the body. Inhale through the nose. In Genesis 2, verse 7, the Bible says that God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. Did everyone get that? Nose. Nose purifies the air, humidifies the air, warms the air. Nose pressurizes the air, making it perfect for the lungs. But this fifth one is one I want to explore now. Nose balances blood gases. What are the blood gases? The blood gases are oxygen, that's not a surprise. The blood gases are carbon dioxide. So in the cell, it is carbon dioxide that is given off when glucose and oxygen combust together. And the other gas is nitric oxide. Mouth does not balance those blood gases, and actually in the sinus, when you're breathing in and out through the nose, it creates nitric oxide. If you're a mouth breather, you're not getting the nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is an antimicrobial agent, but nitric oxide is a vasodilator. So what's a vasodilator? Vasodilator opens the blood vessels, gets a better flow of blood all through the body because of nose breathing. So nitric oxide is a vasodilator and carbon dioxide is a vasodilator. Yes, you can have too much carbon dioxide, but you can also have not enough. Remember what the nose does? Balances blood gases. If you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, you lose too much carbon dioxide. We should be breathing in and out through our nose. So here's the lungs. The trachea splits and then all the little bronchioles come like this, like the branches of a tree. And at the end of every bronchial, there's an alveoli. Looks like a bunch of grapes. Here's the alveoli. We have approximately 300 million alveoli. And this is where the gaseous exchange takes place. Now we have about 25 trillion red blood cell. We looked at that yesterday, 25 trillion red blood cell. And there are about 270 million hemoglobin. That's the carrier of the oxygen. And each hemoglobin has four docking sites. One, two, three, four. And those are docking sites for oxygen. That hemoglobin can only pick up four molecules of oxygen if there are four molecules of carbon dioxide. If there's four molecules of carbon dioxide, then the blood can pick up four molecules of oxygen. If you're breathing out through your mouth, you might only have two molecules of carbon dioxide. You know what that means? You can only get two molecules of oxygen. But when you breathe in and out through your nose, it balances those blood gases so you have the correct amount of carbon dioxide and oxygen. But what I particularly wanted to show you was that this carbon dioxide has a vasodilator effect. There's a best-selling book called Breath by James Nestor. And James Nestor and his friend, they plugged up their noses for 10 days. So they only breathed through their mouth. Their jaws dropped, the whole facial structure changed, they felt miserable, their sleep apnea went through the roof, their snoring was horrific, and their blood pressure went up. They barely survived the 10 days. They were miserable creatures at the end of 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they unplugged the nose and taped the mouth up. Their whole face structure changed. They felt so much better. Within 2 days, there was no snoring, and no sleep apnea. All because they were nose breathing. And guess what happened to their blood pressure? Their blood pressure came back to normal. And all they had done, I don't know how much water they were drinking, I don't know how much they were sleeping, I don't know what they were eating, but all they did was change the way they breathed. It's fascinating reading the book. Now, the reason why their blood pressure came down, because they were nose breathing, so now they're getting adequate amounts of carbon dioxide and nitric oxide, which are both vasodilators, which open those blood vessels, and that's why their blood pressure went down. Nutrition. To protect ourselves from heart attack, from stroke, to conquer high blood pressure, we should be having the three essential food groups. What are the three essentials? Fiber, lots of fruits and vegetables, protein, all your plant-based protein, and great fats, because there is no proof that fat causes heart disease. If there is a fat that causes heart disease or contributes to it, it's those cheap, nasty oils. Don't touch them. They've been changed. They've been totally destroyed. It doesn't matter if they're in a clear plastic bottle, because they're totally destroyed by the time they're even put in that plastic bottle. And in the days when people ate natural fats, heart disease was rare. And if saturated fat causes heart disease, when Captain Cook landed on the South Pacific Islands, the people would have been dying like flies from heart disease and stroke. Is that right? And there were none. So we've got history to prove to us. Moderation in all the good things. You can overdo good things. Keep them in moderation. Yeah, the fats are important, but don't drink a cup of olive oil a day. But I don't know anyone who would. It's a concentrated food, are your fats. You don't need much. It's not pleasant overdoing it. But when people are eating fried foods, they can eat just about half a cup of oil when they eat a whole plate of fried food. And that oil is a dangerous fat because it's been altered in the heat. Exercise. Dr. Doug McGough, who wrote the book Body by Science, what he showed, well, he was looking for exercise for his heart patients, as was Dr. Al Sears. They're both called the exercise doctors. And they both came at the high-intensity interval training. Because the high-intensity interval training, what it does is it gets the body into a state of peak fitness. And they were specifically looking at the heart. So the high-intensity interval training, we looked at this last night when we looked at diabetes as a way to increase the insulin receptor sites on the cell, increase the uptake of glucose and insulin. But what Doug McGough found was that this was the best form of exercise to strengthen the heart. And it also strengthens the arterial walls. So what he did was he got his patients to do 30 seconds high intensity. Now, 30 seconds doesn't sound long, but when you're doing high intensity, it can be a very long time. So 30 seconds high intensity, that would be running, or it could be walking very fast up a steep hill, or it could be exercise bike. Most of the research has been done on an exercise bike. And the beauty of an exercise bike in recovery time, which can be approximately 2 minutes, you're just slowly cycling. And then this is usually done for a cycle of six. What have we got there? That's about 15 minutes. And he was excited about the results that he was getting with himself, and then he started to do it with all his patients, and he saw the same thing. The heart got stronger, because the heart is a muscle. And like any muscle, the more you use it, the stronger it gets. But the high intensity was what really strengthened it. It's almost like you're causing a little crisis in the body. And that crisis is what strengthens the heart and strengthens the body. And no one's ever had a heart attack doing the high intensity interval training. Because it's in recovery time that all the lactic acid is mopped up. That's the good news. And pace, Dr. Al Sears' book, Pace, it's progressive acceleration, cardiopulmonary exertion. Progressive means what you can't do now, you will be able to do. So progressive acceleration, you are moving, this is not a gentle stroll. Cardiopulmonary, cardio meaning heart, strengthening the heart, pulmonary, opening those lungs. And he quotes the Framingham study that found by the age of 60, often people had lost 40% lung capacity. By the age of 80, many had lost 60% lung capacity. So you lose that lung capacity, you lose the uptake of oxygen, so no wonder so many people in their latter years suffer from fatigue. Doing the high-intensity interval training prevents loss of lung capacity. And if you have lost it and you start to do the high-intensity, you will regain it again. Again, the heart is a muscle. And the more you use any muscle, the stronger it gets. This is such a powerful form of exercise that this is how most athletes are trained today. And it seems like such a tiny little bit in the day. But it's the most effective form of exercise. You will get more out of that than a 5 kilometre jog. Isn't that good news? Because how long is a 5 kilometre jog? That's about an hour. I haven't got an hour. I don't know anyone. Maybe some do. But if you don't think you've got 15 minutes, it's time to assess what you do with your day. Another vasodilator is cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper is a remarkable herb. Cayenne pepper thins the blood, is a vasodilator, opens the blood vessels, strengthens the arterial walls. And hawthorn berry is a herb that strengthens the heart. I talk about them in a little bit more detail in my book. And we've seen many people get off their blood pressure medication by implementing the same sustain me principles. Taking the cayenne pepper, start with 1/4 teaspoon and a little water 3 times a day. The hawthorn berry, it's a very safe herb. You can cook it up as a tea. You would need to have maybe 1 litre a day if you do that. Or if you take it in a tablet form or capsule form, you could easily take 4,000 milligrams a day. It strengthens the heart. And we've seen many get off their blood pressure medication and manage it by these simple lifestyle changes and herbs.